Hello, and welcome to the Slow Style Home Podcast. If you don't want a cookie cutter generic home, and instead you want a beautiful, meaningful home that's layered with personality, then you are going to be so inspired by the conversations we have on this show. We talk about why the environments we create matter and how to set up our rooms to evoke specific feelings and experiences that are right for you wherever you are in your life right now. I'm Zandra, your host and creator of the Slow Style Home Framework that teaches you how to make really thoughtful and informed decisions about your home rather than chasing current trends that may not last or staying stuck with rooms you hate, feeling overwhelmed with too many choices. Right now, when you join our monthly membership, the Slow Style Society, you'll get a personalized deep dive into your vision of what a dream home looks and feels like. And together, we'll come up with a plan on how to achieve that. If that sounds pretty awesome to you, go to slowstylehome.com and click on Join the Society for all of the details. I'll tell you a little bit more about it later on. Right now, let's just jump into today's episode. Hello, and welcome to the Style Matters Podcast. I'm Zandra, your host, and I'm also the creator of the Slow Style Approach to Designing Your Dream Home. On this show, you'll hear lots of interviews with really talented people working in interiors. Most of them are designers, some are makers and artists, and many of them are authors. Sometimes I also record a solo show where it's just me and I share pieces of my slow style design framework that puts you at the front and center of your home, rather than products or trends and other people's idea of what beauty is supposed to look like. If that sounds good to you and you're itching to get started, you can download our free worksheet called The Dream Home Action Plan. You can find it at littleyellowcouch.com. And about halfway through today's conversation, I'm really excited about jumping in and telling you about a new online course that I've just created called Unlock Your Signature Style. This course is self-paced. You can take it at any time. It's for people new to interior design, but also for those who really want to dig into the foundation of the slow style philosophy. So stay tuned for that. Now, if you're ready to learn how to make your home beautiful and meaningful from the best interior designers I know, you're in the right place. I'm so glad you're here. What a wonderful conversation you're about to hear with my guest, Casey Cope. She's a designer and now shop owner in Pittsburgh with an obvious passion for home. And by home, I mean the creation of experiences, not the walls themselves. We talk about how to afford buying things that are handmade, artisan designed, and well-crafted, and how we can shift our thinking to uncover their actual value. We also talk about the realities of budget constraints and taking our time with what we fill our homes with. She is a great storyteller, and I am so pleased to have met her. I think you're going to love her. Here's Casey. Casey Cope, welcome to the Style Matters Podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
Great. I'm really think this is going to be a very interesting interview. So I want to start from the kind of the beginning. You went from side hustle, dabbling kind of in interior design, to full-time with your own interior design firm a few years ago.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about that. But first, I want to talk about the fact that you also just recently opened up a store in Pittsburgh. And wow, what prompted you to go brick and mortar? Why did you add that to your full plate? And by the way, your store, the opening of your store is why I was drawn to you in the first place, because I just love what you're doing with it. But go ahead.
Thanks. Yeah, it's definitely been a winding path. I think very few people have a very direct one.
Right. But so, yeah, I don't.
And definitely self-taught. But I'll start with the store. Yeah. I built my business on accident, basically.
Okay.
I was decorating my own house at the time was in North Carolina, and people kept, you know, slowly, I was blogging about it at the time, and people were slowly asking me, like, do you do this? You know, can you help me out? Blah, blah, blah. And so little by little, I'm like, I kind of faked it along the way, right? You're like, oh yeah, I totally know how I do this. And I didn't have a lot of money to start up. I really had nothing. I was, you know, working for a nonprofit at the time. And so the way I designed my business initially was, how do I do this with as little overhead as possible?
Yes. You know?
And so what that meant was sending links to clients to buy the product. It meant I was never buying the product up front. I didn't have to warehouse anything, you know, some of those technicalities of like being an interior designer. And while that was great, right, what that meant, that what that allowed me to do was work with folks across the country. You know, I'm sending links from these big box retailers. And I think I, you know, last year around this time, I went to Oaxaca, Mexico. And I just like got this hit in the gut, visceral sort of reaction to this place. And there was just such a dedication to craft and like the ritual of making, in a way that I feel like has felt really important to me, but I didn't always do that with my clients. And so I started to feel this real disconnect between how I was running my business. And you know, I think I'd like to hope my clients will continue to have a good experience with me, but there was just this over-reliance on new, fast, quick. And as I thought about, okay, what do I want to do? Like, what am I uniquely positioned to do? What am I excited to do for the long haul? It is these like historied pieces, whether they're vintage or they have a story behind them with the maker. And so really started thinking I needed something more physical, like a more physical manifestation of my business. And then the last little part is I was very dedicated to being in Sharpsburg. It's a little neighborhood here in Pittsburgh. I could do a whole podcast in Sharpsburg, but my great grandparents immigrated here from Italy. My grandmother grew up here. My mom grew up here. And so my shop is right across the street from where my grandmother had a produce store. And she's a big part of my life. And so, yeah, it sort of is all about like this homecoming, coming home. Those stories behind the things in our houses.
Yeah. I read a little bit about, there are aspects of your shop that really draw on that family history that are so meaningful. And you know, I want you to talk about some of those in a minute. I love your answer to that question. It's not quite what I was expecting. I guess I thought you were going to say, oh, you know, I always wanted to be a shop owner. And I love creating, an experience for customers when they walk in, which I'm sure is all true. But I really resonate with you personally. Like you said, you were hit in the gut, like finding a connection between what we bring into our homes and why it matters. It matters environmentally. It matters in terms of fair wages. It matters, you know, in so many ways. And I'm kind of on a crusade lately to really talk about this very openly, because I don't want to make anyone feel guilty or bad that they've got stuff from Home Goods or Target or even, you know, Pottery Barn or any of those big box stores. I don't want to shame anyone, and I don't want to make people feel badly. I want to recognize the reality that the more well-made something is, the more it's simply going to cost. It should cost more. There is value to that, and kind of helping us shift our mindset toward being okay with spending and investing the kind of money, but at the same time, not feeling bad when we truly can't afford something and we just need a new curtain. And so we're going to go to Target to buy it. Right. So let's talk a little bit more about that and your feelings around that.
Well, you always say at the beginning of the podcast, you find your people. And so we found each other here, because I'm in a similar place where, you know, I would be like a real hypocrite to say that I haven't sent, you know, tons of links to my clients to buy from Pottery Barn, to buy from West Elm. And I think that there is a place for that. I'm a realist. You know, I think there's a real gift with Amazon that we can, you know, my I've had elderly grandparents and aunts, you know, again, very, very close to my family, and the ability to have something on their porch in a day.
Huge.
It's incredible, right? Yep. And so there are positives to this. But I think on the flip side, you know, and I think probably there's some like Instagram, social media, shelter magazines that play into this a little bit. But like, I think it sort of has shifted our psyche a little bit to like, we have to have the thing that everybody else has.
Mm-hmm. And instantly, we need it instantly.
And instantly, yesterday, you know, and I just, when I look around my house or when I think about, you know, it's so fun for me to welcome people into my house. And another thing that I'm excited about welcoming people into the shop is like, I really notice, Sandra, what people compliment me on and what they ask about.
Okay. So for example,
It's never the Pottery Barn sofa. You know, right. it's never the Wayfair chairs. It is always the, you know, I have this, there's a part of my house. My house was built in the 1800s and 1880. She's an old girl.
Okay.
And I've been, you know, I've been redoing it little by little. And there's a space between my living room and my dining room where the floor was, it was an addition or something. And,
okay.
And so there was this plywood gap.
Yeah.
And I spent forever, you know, I'm like trolling around other houses in Sharpsburg being like, can I just like scavenge some wood from the inside of your closet? You know, we have like this little underground wood trade. I don't know.
I love it.
So that was my initial, you know, my initial thing was like, okay, I'll still keep the wood from a Sharpsburg house or whatever. But I had this dairy crate that I had been given, and it was from a dairy manufacturer here in Sharpsburg from the 60s. And I had this light bulb moment where I was like, I have had this box and I haven't really known what to do with this dairy crate. So I cut it down. I get rid of like the side metal pieces, and I actually lay that into the floor. And my floor guys are like, this woman's a lunatic. Now he tells everybody about the milk crate floor.
You know, right. Is it metal? It's a metal crate, I assume you're saying.
No, it's wood. So the outer sides are metal. We cut those off and basically made them into these planks, and they're stamped with,
oh my gosh,
you know, Sharpsburg, that kind of thing.
I love it.
It was like a really, and that was one of those light bulb moments as a designer where truly, if I was in this incredible rush, that never would have come to me.
Nope.
And if I hadn't like found that box, I just had it for all these years.
You just
and
had
I didn't
it.
Really know. Right. And so that's the stuff, you know, or like I have this big, huge road sign that says 322 on it. I got it in an estate sale, but 322 is like our family lucky number. You know, if we ever going to play the lottery,
we play
322. It was my grandmother's address. And so those are the things that people are always asking about and inquiring. And that's just not something you're going to get from West Elm.
Right.
You know, and that's what tells our stories. And God, what a gift to get to do that, you know, in our own houses.
Yeah, absolutely. What a great story. I feel like we are presented primarily with sort of two roads. It's the cheap way. Like, you know, there's so many articles or posts that are about, you know, this is what it costs at Anthropology, and this is what it costs when I, you know, at Target. And I, you know what I mean? Or,
yeah.
You know, the high low, right? The high low comparison and the knockoffs, because the truth is, I mean, forget about Anthropology. Like the other road is the really high end road that you see in House Beautiful or in Architectural Digest or whatever, where it's so out of the realm for most people, right? To spend $5,000 on a console table, right? I mean, just to start there. Are you trying to find sort of that middle ground in your shop with things that are still accessible, but you still need to charge what they're worth?
Yeah. I mean, that would be my goal. And I do think there is something to seeing these things. And so when you see them, I think you can actually justify the cost a little bit in a way that you can't when you're looking at a listing, because it is exactly that. When you see a listing on this 2D screen and you don't feel it and you don't, I mean, to be fair, you also don't look in the eyes of a person who made it,
know?
I mean, that has also really shifted my perspective. You know, this is, I think this is a really good segue into this quick little anecdote, but I had this table, And this table has followed me. It's where I'm sitting right now. This table has followed me. And I'm pretty good at getting rid of stuff. You know, I know that there's like this constant flow of cool things.
Right.
But this table has been with me. It was like someone gave it to me. It was a mid-century modern table. Somebody gave it to me when I moved to North Carolina right out of college. You know, and like my roommate and I sat around this table and we lesson planned. I was a teacher for several years. Then it became like it went to my first house that I bought and I was married at the time, you know, so this was a table I hosted a lot of parties around.
Yeah.
Went through a really bad divorce, brought the table home. And this is where I built my business at this table. And, you know, it didn't work in this house. It was just a weird size. It was not the right size. So I couldn't get rid of it. Sandra, I was trying to call my friends, give it to them. And no one really wanted it. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to turn this table into a desk. And I found these incredible carpenters here in Pittsburgh, Valentine Carpentry. And I won't lie, you know, when I sort of gave them the table and I was like, here are my requirements, like make it as large as it can, kind of fit it into this space. I was a little sticker shocked for sure. But when I look at them and I realize like, okay, you're like keeping a family's lights on. You are supporting another maker in my community. And it's like a buy once, cry once kind of a thing. I bought this desk and I will never buy another desk, you know, whereas I buy something on West Elm that's maybe, or Target or whatever, maybe it's half the price or I think even at that, maybe like, you know, two thirds of price, I think.
Right. Well, like really, Wayfair, the overstock, the prices that are really inexpensive. Yeah.
Right. I'm going to buy that again in 5 years. Yeah. And I'm going to hate it the whole time. And I'm not going to be sitting on a podcast talking to you about this incredible table. Or when I have people over being like, this looks like that. And I, you know, I've had this table for this many years, blah, blah, blah. And so I do think there is something, you know, with the shop, I do feel like there is this just very physical aspect of things that I'm really excited to bring to folks that I just think we have become so disconnected from, particularly in COVID, right? We couldn't even go out and see these things, you know? So of course we're ordering stuff.
Of course. Right.
And I just think that's just, I think having those stories has made me happier at home. And gosh, I hope that can, you know, I can do that for other folks too.
Yeah. So. Yeah. What a great story. And I've never heard that. Would it buy once, cry once? Is that what you said?
Buy once, cry once. Yeah.
I love it. Right. That's the sticker shock. And then you're like, okay. And then, as you said, you grow, you know, you probably don't even think about the price anymore because it's been so, doubled, tripled its value to you since that one-time purchase. Yeah.
We'll be back after a quick break.
I assume you're here because you want a one-of-a-kind, personality-filled home, right? Well, in order to have that, you need to define and develop your signature style. When you do that, you're going to understand how to mix what you already have with new things you find, focusing on who you are and what you love, putting it all together in a cohesive way. So what's stopping you? Well, let me know if this sounds about right. Not enough time, not enough money, and a lack of creativity or design knowledge, which makes you feel overwhelmed and insecure about pulling the trigger and changing things up. This is why I created the Slow Style Society, to help you take action on making your dream home a reality. It's part social club for people who like to just geek out on design, and part hands-on learning experience where you get better and better at making decor decisions for each room in your home. And for the next few weeks, I'm offering all new members an additional one-on-one style session with yours truly. So I'll take you through the lessons so you know exactly what to focus on inside the Slow Style framework, in what order, and you'll have a personalized support system from me to get you there. Go to slowstylehome.com and click on Join the Society so we can get started right away. Let's not wait for that imaginary perfect time to create your beautiful, meaningful home. Again, go to slowstylehome.com and click on Join the Society. Okay, back to the episode.
And I'm not convinced that I would feel that same connection from even at the same exact price point from a big box store. Right. Or a high-end retailer, like it wouldn't have that same you know, connection to this thing.
Yes.
And also you have to be willing to wait. And so what did I do? I worked at like a card table for a couple months, while they were working on it. Oh my gosh, how excited I was to get it. You know, when it came back, it's just like this gift. And when I sit down, it just feels so nice and it functions so well. And then I think about Bobby and Jolie, you know, and to be able to like, our house, the carpenters, like that's what our houses are for, you know, and that's what we're like on this earth to do, I think, is like build connection with people. You know, I live alone. After I got divorced, I had always lived with, I mean, I always shared a room. I always had my own room for like 3 years of my life. And it was really pretty lonely, you know, particularly in COVID, I wasn't seeing anybody. And so I do think there also is this element for me of like, okay, when there aren't physical people around me, like what is, how am I thinking about these people, you know, initially my family, but certainly other networks of folks, and kind of have them here in spirit, you know, in a way that I think has felt really affirming to me and made me really happy in this space.
Before we continue with the conversation, I told you I was going to jump in at some point and tell you about a new project that I've been working on. So here goes. You may know about an online course I teach called Master the Mix. It's about 4 weeks long, and it's only available 2 to 3 times a year. And a lot of people have told me that they just don't want to wait for the doors to open. I get it. When you're in the mood to get your house in order and make it look and feel good, you want to do it now. So I've just launched another online course, but this one you can start at any time. It's called Unlock Your Signature Style, and it's right for you if you're new to interior design concepts, if you've just moved into a new home, or if you feel like your whole home needs an overhaul, and if you have no idea what your style is or where to start. Unlock Your Signature Style is a self-paced course that you do on your own with easy-to-listen-to audio lessons and worksheets that go along with them. But I'm also giving it a very personalized touch. Everyone who takes the course is able to sign up for a one-on-one coaching session with me. Yep, I'm going to get on a call or Zoom with you and give your home my full attention. Okay, there's plenty of other info on the website about Unlock Your Signature Style, so just go to littleyellowcouch.com and click on Courses up at the top. And one more thing, and this is important. If you've signed up for the Little Yellow Couch newsletter, you're going to get a special 30% off discount code for this new course. Because it's brand new, I really want your feedback. So I'm looking to my email subscribers here to jump in and let me know what you think. And so as a thank you for subscribing, you're getting a 30% off discount. So check out all the info about the course. Make sure you're subscribed to the newsletter. You can do all of that at littleyellowcouch.com. Okay, enough of me blabbing on. Let's get back to the episode.
Absolutely. I always think our homes are for the people who are in them. They're not, they need to relate to the people. They need to be about the focus needs to be on the people. Even though I could look at photos of interior design, you know, from dusk till dawn, 7 days a week, and love it, but it's really not about that. It's about our connections with people. And I really think about a lot about creating homes that foster those connections, which you clearly do too. And I want to keep talking about your home. So you started to say it's from 1880, and I think you've been doing a lot of work in it. And I'm curious, like what's your favorite room right now, or what's your favorite wall color that you've put on the wall, or your favorite thing you've done?
Yeah. Gosh. I mean, my favorite thing I've done, you know, it's a hard question. That box, that dairy crate is definitely up there.
Yeah.
Just because it felt like a real creative moment where I haven't seen anybody else do it, you know, like
right,
then I'm trolling
totally.
Pinterest to be like, has anybody else done this before? But there is this, so the sort of heart of my house, is the dining room. And I walked, I didn't want to see this house. I'd been looking for a long time. I knew I wanted to be in Sharpsburg, and I wanted to be in an old house. And there were just a lot of things about this house when I looked at it on the listing. I was like, this doesn't really feel right. But my parents came with me and the realtor. And when I walked into the dining room, like my mom just kind of looked at me and she's like, this is your house. You know, we hadn't gotten very far.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so there's this really large wall. And at the time there was like a big, there was like a dartboard on it or something.
Okay.
It's so random. And there was a pool table in the center, which, you know what, good for that family. Cause
totally.
Maybe that worked for them, you know?
Yes. Yes.
But so there's this big, big wall and I couldn't think of what to do, blah, blah, blah. And then I have this photo of my grandmother from 1960. And she's just this, again, huge part of my life. And it was Christmas Eve dinner, which is a big thing for Italians. And
yeah,
she's there cooking the Feast of the Seven Fish.
Yep.
And her hair is in these curlers and stuff. And it's black and white. And I blew it up to like 8 by 10. Like it's wallpaper. It's two panels. And I tell you,
when you say 8 by 10, you mean feet.
Feet. Yeah. Larger than life. I mean, she's
not
like
inches.
A little, yeah, no, feet, feet. It was bigger than her. I mean, she was
right.
Little, like by the time she was like 4'10", I think.
Right.
She was a teeny little thing. And I mean, when she saw it too, she saw it one time before she passed away and she came to pass one time. And she's like, she was a rough Italian. And I said, I will not swear, but she's like, do you want to look at a photo of me every day? And I was like, okay, none, you know, like you're welcome. But all I have to say, I think it just really sets the tone for me because I think so much of like homemaking and like the sense of place I learned from her and my mom, like they were just these incredible homemakers. And so it's so special for me to walk in and see this big, larger than life image of my grandmother who grew up two streets away, you know? And it's funny when I was designing it, so many people were like, don't do wallpaper. It's so hard. It was particularly before all like these great new,
the
like movable
stick,
wallpapers.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And, no one's going to want to buy that house after you because you know, like grandma. And I'm like, I don't care. Like, they don't live here. I live here.
That's right.
I live here. And you know, what's so funny is now I'm pretty convinced actually that if I was to sell this house, even if it, and I don't, but it's not anytime soon, but the next person would probably, I really think would likely keep that up. Even if they don't know who she was.
I'll tell you right now, I certainly would. I definitely, you know, wow.
Good. Good. Yeah. So the dining room was a special place for me. I mean, underneath the dining room table, I have everybody who comes signs it.
And so
they need like a little message. And, you know, sometimes after particularly wild nights, you know, there's some funnier messages underneath there.
I bet.
But yeah, it's just this cool space of like weird, you know, some weird stuff, some like, it doesn't necessarily go together by any design magazine standpoint, but it works, you know? And I would say that's my favorite little room right now.
So as invested as you are in this home, and I certainly do the same thing in all of the homes I've lived in, as I really invest for myself and put a lot of, not just money, but sort of sweat, you know, equity into it. And yet I feel like I could pick up and leave.
Mm-hmm.
Probably because I look forward to the next challenge of another home. But you wrote something about wanting to get rid of the phrase forever home. And I wonder if you could tell us about that.
Yeah, I don't love that term. You know, I think because like, does that mean anything before it isn't good enough? You know, I think a lot of times when people talk about their forever home, it's like, we're not going to do this until it's our forever home. You know,
right.
This isn't our forever home. So blah, blah, blah. This is, you know, we'll wait till our forever home to do this. And, you know, one thing I do like fundamentally believe is that everybody deserves like, a really soft spot to land like right now. You know, I think not like a home and not just a house, but like a home it should be a fundamental human right. Like it really should be. And I think, you know, if we wait for this perfect set of environments to invest in our home, or, you know, in our space, like we're going to wait for forever. You know, you're going to wait for forever. I had, so right after I got divorced, life was, it all kind of fell apart pretty fast and life was like very chaotic and I didn't know where I was going to live. Like I was selling a house. I was maybe going to live with my parents, but wasn't sure. There's part of me that going to Mexico, you know, it's just really trying to make sense of things. And, I saw a piece of art and it was the first piece of like original art that I bought by this artist named Francis Berry, in Memphis. And I saw this art and it just like hit me. I mean, it was like this, like these bright colors and like the words on it. And it was like, I just need this piece of art.
Yeah.
And I had no home. I literally had no home and I still bought it and invested in that. And that piece will that will go with me to every home
right.
that I'm in, you know, as opposed to waiting for this perfect moment, this perfect home to like now invest, you know? Yes. I just think life is like fragile and it's unpredictable. And again, you know, if you wait for the perfect conditions, you'll wait for forever. And life is evolving. The best people are, you know, the best yeah. people are those who are like changing and evolving. And I want my home to do that too. And not just wait for this like final resting place, if that makes sense.
It makes complete sense. And that's a very powerful story that you told where, you know, a lot of people would say, I'm not going to buy a piece of art because I don't know where I would hang it. Or like you've said, like, well, this isn't really my forever home. And what if it doesn't work in the next home or whatever? You didn't even have a home and you bought the artwork. Like that, no. That is such a beautiful illustration of how right now matters so much. Right now
so
matters.
Much.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I want to talk. I have sent Francis and I've sent Francis messages over the years, you know, and it feels like this
lingering
piece. Yeah. The artist, you know, when we talk about like knowing the maker or whatever, and like, she remembers selling me the piece.
Yes.
That was a really tumultuous time in life. And yeah, when I look at it, you know, it even for me, it's like this story of resiliency and strength
right.
and like investing in myself. That again, you know, if I had been like, well, I don't even know, like it's a big piece, you know,
yeah,
and it's
yeah.
wild colors and it's like very urban and sort of like harsh edges. And yeah, you know, it's what I'm trying to say is like a very particular style.
Sure. Sure.
And you I didn't know. Right.
Somebody might've right? been afraid to like invest in that. Like, yeah, for all the reasons
yeah.
you just said. Right.
Right. Right. So yeah, that's why I just, you know, I just think so many times people are designing for the person after them too, in their houses, you know, it's like, oh, for resale this or
yeah.
for that. And it's like, you're the one who's there. And I promise you, for every person who doesn't like it, there will be five who do,
right.
you know? And
right.
if they don't, they'll change it out, you
that's
know,
right.
they will change it out. So do
yes.
what's right for you right now.
Absolutely. 100%. I want to talk a little bit about your design work next. And you mentioned that you are self-taught, which means says to me that you have really paid attention to what works and what doesn't, and that you
yeah.
know you've trained yourself on why foundational principles of design actually make sense and why we can lean on them sometimes. So, are there any guidelines that you've learned that you know generally apply to most situations, right? You know, I know you're not a rule follower, but what are some design rules, quote unquote rules, that you believe really make sense, that you feel like, or maybe it's things not to do, like, you know, let's just talk about sort of your overall, this is what you lean on, this is what you steer away from.
Yeah, totally. You know, I teach decorating classes. I used to teach them in person, and I started teaching them online. And I think what I've become a real believer in is sort of knowing some of those principles and that foundational language of design. What it does is it like lets us stop being so mean to ourselves when something doesn't work, right? I've heard so many people be like, I'm just such a bad decorator. And it's like, okay, the balance is just off, or it's a scale. This is a scale issue. I mean, how much kinder of a way? And then you truly can, when you look at something and you're like, this is a little catty, like this is a little like wonky, what is wrong here?
Yeah.
It's not that you're bad or wrong. It's that like, it's just not in line with something with a foundational principle.
Right.
And then what I think that has let me do is then once I'm in those parameters, I can fly, you know, I can do whatever I want. But within sort of those ones. And so like, for me, scale is really big, particularly when I'm thinking about, you know, maybe you are ordering like a lamp online. You know, I remember one of my earlier clients, I had them order a lamp online and it came back. And when I looked at the pictures, like, oh man, it was a little too small for that table.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I was like, okay, I've got to figure out ways to, what is the correct proportion? So this is a rule that I teach in my, a rule of thumb that I teach in my decorating classes is like 2/3 is this incredibly beautiful proportion.
Right.
And it works like all the time. You know, it's like the art above your sofa, about 2/3. The coffee table in front of the sofa, about 2/3 the size of it.
Yeah.
And there's something really magical and beautiful about that. And then what you can do is you can break the rules within that. So a great example is I had this big pavilion in the backyard made, you know, I have a lot of parties. It's just like, okay, we're going to like extend this out in the backyard. And so ripped up all the grass and I built this like this pretty large pavilion. And in the back, it's like a full bench that goes the whole way so I can see, you know, a bunch of people.
Yeah.
And so I knew that I needed a coffee table about 2/3 the size of the bench or else it would look like really petite and very teeny.
Right.
So I'm looking online and I'm like, I'm going to have to make, you know, make some kind of a bench, like
right,
or some kind of a coffee table. Cause this thing's just huge. It's like exponentially expensive. And I had this moment where I was like, oh, I'll just put two coffee tables that are the exact same side by side. And that will create this 2/3 proportion.
Yes.
And so I think that's a good example of, you know, knowing a foundation of that, but then figuring out ways that you can kind of shift inside of that.
It's like layering rugs, you know, you get a really beautiful, expensive hand woven rug that's too small. And a lot of people buy rugs that are too small simply because of the price.
Yep.
But it's too small and you layer it on top of a much more inexpensive flat weave or something that is the right space, the right dimension, the right balance for that room without spending all of the money on a hand woven rug that's, you know, 9x12 or whatever.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, like all of these design rules, I think can sometimes perhaps feel like a barrier, you know, or a challenge, like to your point, okay, now I can't buy any rug. So
yeah.
And I think the best decorators and the best homes are ones that sort of look at these boundaries or look at these challenges and think, okay, like game on, let me figure out, like, that's creativity to me.
Totally.
And how, like, that sense of pride that you get when you figure that out. I mean, it's very silly, but when I look at those two side-by-side coffee tables, they actually function better to begin with because people can actually walk in and out as opposed to being stuck behind one long bench.
That's right.
When I look at that, I'm like, go you. Like, I'm really proud of myself for figuring that out, you know?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that, I think another one that's like helpful is balance, you know? And I don't think that always means symmetry. In fact, I love it when it's not symmetrical, but, you know, if you imagine maybe a table lamp and an end table and a floor lamp, and if you imagine them on like an old school balance, you know, with the two arms.
Yeah.
Would they visually weigh about the same?
Right. Okay. Right.
Right. They're balanced. Does one feel really, really light? That's probably why that room feels weird. You know, if it feels like one feels really, really heavy and something on the other side feels like, you're out of the balance. Okay, great. I'm going to have to put some kind of other decorative object or little table or something on that other side to kind of weigh these things out.
Yes. I use plants a lot. If there's a hole or if it's like too light on, like in terms of visual weight on one side, I'm like, let's get a plant.
Great one. Yes. Love it.
This has been so much fun. We are absolutely kindred spirits. I'm very interested to hear how you answer my final question, which is, why does style matter?
I love this question. You know, for me, it's never been about the pillow. Like, it's just not about this perfectly chopped pillow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think our homes can be, like, I have experience with this, that our homes can be incredibly healing and redemptive and reflective of who we are, or like they can be prisons. And I'm not just saying, like, I've seen very well-appointed homes and there is no soul, you know, and you can tell that people are just living like so tightly to try to keep up with some sort of image. So I that's not reserved only for homes that are not well decorated. Right.
Right.
And I think it really impacts who we show up as in the world. You know, I'm convinced that I'm a better daughter, friend, partner, any of those identity markers, like when I'm right at home. Mm. And at a larger scale, I think a lot about like the one forever home that we do have is like the one we build within ourselves, which I know sounds a little woo-woo, but like it is, you know? And how do you like, okay, as I'm like building this house, this home within myself, like, how do I make sure that the environment that I'm in, you know, reflects that? And yeah, I mean, I mentioned, I touched on this a little bit earlier, but I think style matters and homemaking and all of these concepts that we're talking about, like all of our ancestors, every single one of them built huts and shelters and created homes. And I think it's like literally like primal and in our blood to do
they
that.
They decorated them.
Right.
They actually cared about what they were looking at when they were in those four walls of the hut.
Exactly. And like, how cool is that? And what an honor that we get to do that. You know, that we get to, you think about so many of the things. I mean, I remember when FaceTime started, my grandmother was like, what is this crazy contraption, you know? But, you know, so many of these things are just weren't even concepts all these years ago, but there is this that we have been doing for generations and generations. And to be able to do that, I think is a real gift and is worth it. You know, yeah. It is so worth it. I think it's a great way to honor our homes, you know, primarily, but also ourselves, you know, right, our stories and what a gift to get to do.
Oh,
that.
What a great answer. What a great answer. Casey, this has been so wonderful. And I must get to your shop and just, you know, kind of revel in your spirit and your ideas. And you're just a lovely person. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me. You're welcome. Anytime. I'll be waiting for you if the door opens.
Thanks so much for spending time with me today. If you've gotten something out of this episode, please be so kind as to leave a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening from. It really does help this show stay on the air. And also, don't forget to grab our free guide, The Dream Home Action Plan, at littleyellowcouch.com. And also, that's where you can find the show notes pages for all of these episodes with photos and links to things that we've been talking about. Have a great week. Bye for now. Thanks so much for listening. I know your time is valuable, and I really do appreciate you spending it with me. And please, please, please take a minute to leave a review for Slow Style Home wherever you get your podcasts. It honestly does help keep this show on the air, and your feedback is highly valuable to me. Have a great day, and I'll be back in your earbuds soon. Bye for now.